Well, welcome everybody to the podcast. Today we're going to launch into a series about gear, because gear can waste all of your time and money and actually end up making you a much worse musician than you were if you would have not bought it in the first place. So let's dive into that. Well, hey everybody, this is Stephen Reed, coming to you actually from a remote location. This is a keyboard at a school that I teach at, and I thought it would be a good example of a principle that I have come to learn, and the Lord showed me something the last time I was kind of teaching a similar topic to my students, and so I thought I would share, or it would be appropriate to do it here in front of this keyboard. And so as we begin talking about gear, it can get really interesting, because gear can sometimes be your best friend. It can help you, it can get you down the path where it is you need to go. And gear can also be just an expense that ends up costing you even more in the long run, because you think that you're getting better, but there's, unfortunately, with gear, a lot of side effects. And sometimes what it costs in money isn't really the problem. It's what it costs you in how you depend upon it, what you need from it, what you don't learn, because what it is that this other thing that's holding you up. We'll dive into some of those things, because at the church I served at for a long time, I was in charge of all the technical stuff, and I feel like I made a bunch of technical mistakes and bought a lot of gear that ended up in a back closet somewhere with good expectations and hopes and dreams. And then I spent a lot of time traveling as a worship consultant, and I would be doing tech advice for different churches and going and seeing what they're having, fixing sound systems. And then I realized that I wasn't alone, that there was a lot of other people who had done the same things, bought some sort of product with the promises of it being the cure-all and fix-all, and hey, this is going to make it amazing, because that's what they say in all the advertisements, and then only to come out and find, I don't know how this works, or it doesn't make sense, and then it just ends up in these back closets that I would go and then visit. And over the course of the time, the Lord has shown me how to use a lot of those things, shown me what's important, what's not important. I wanted to first start off with this, the idea of stewardship. And the thing that we often do is we run to the end of our knowledge, and then everybody who's selling something was like, oh, well, that means that you need to buy something. And so we used to get magazines in the mail that would make claims that would say, this is the key to unlock the next aspect of your ministry or whatever. Well, you got to buy something. And so there's not a whole lot of people that are out there saying, hey, when you run to the end of your knowledge, you need to get more knowledge. All right. Now, there are some people who provide training or sell training, but unfortunately, where the money is in buying new products. And so if you don't buy a new keyboard, then nobody's making any money. You're just getting better at what it is that you're using. And as I've traveled and figured out, most people don't know that much about the gear that they own. And it's just a different skill set. And so the people that know how to play their instrument aren't necessarily the ones who made their instrument, nor are they the ones that know how to fix it and run all of the details. Those are very separate skills. And so we don't expect piano players to be able to make their own piano, and we don't expect piano players to be able to tune their own piano. Those are very separate people. And sometimes in the world like guitar, that is an expectation that, well, not that you would make your guitar, but that you would buy and use and you would know how to do all the settings. But sometimes, and really in the professional world, the greatest guitar players have a whole separate team of people that are only doing the tech stuff, that they're the ones wiring, doing all these things. And so as we look at, okay, how do we be good stewards with our gear? One of the things is going to be like, okay, finding the right people and finding the right system and organization, so that way we're not relying on people who don't have skills in a technical area to be the tech person when they're the player, or they're the artist, or they're the creator, or whoever it would happen to be. So I would encourage you that you see your team and you see all of your gear as, okay, how can we get a tech person, maybe somebody who's not even musical, but they know how to read manuals, they know how to figure stuff out, and then they can work with that player and say, okay, what do you want? What are you looking for? And we call it in the music world being an engineer, and you go and you figure it out and you try stuff, and then you make it to where it's a one-button solution as much as possible, simplify it down to where the musicians can walk in, they know exactly what to push, and they can make the sound, or you set it up for them, and then they walk in and they play and it sounds good. All right, that being said, and again, that's kind of a teaser of where we're going with some things. And really, all of this is, I believe, ties into a biblical principle of stewardship, meaning that if you don't do a good job with what it is that you have, why would the Lord bring you more? And that's a tough one for us who love gear and who like to buy things and the shiny and the new and learn all of these things that you're hopeful is just, oh, I was just going to plug in and do it. because it takes a little bit more effort and it takes some humility to be like, okay, maybe the problem is that I'm not as smart as I need to be, or maybe I don't have the right person in place here, versus you can buy and spend money and it makes it quick. And so I was teaching the principle of like, just getting the maximum amount out of your gear, because I can't tell you how many times I've gone to those closets at churches and be like, oh, that thing that I was telling you that you need, here's one right here. And so then I go and I take it out of the back closet, plug it in, and I know how to set it up and make it work. And then, hey, there's that sound that you've been looking for. You had it the whole time. And I'm telling you, it's very, very common. So we were then talking about how do you get great keyboard sounds. And I was going through this particular Yamaha keyboard, which is a digital P95. And it's not cheap by any means, but it's definitely on the lower end of the spectrum. You can spend thousands of more dollars. There's a whole lot of other ways to do it. And you would think, well, it's got some limited features. And so I was just kind of showing them, okay, this is what it can do. And so it has piano sounds, has a different piano sound, then it has electric piano sounds for all you 80s fans out there. Kind of got a nice little thing that's coming in style, like a Rhodes. We've got a jazz organ, has a little Leslie thing going. We've got a pipe organ, church kind of thing going. We got strings. We have a choir, which is just an ah sound. And then we have a harpsichord for all of our Baroque people, my least favorite instrument. And then the vibraphone, kind of like a mallet type thing, if you needed one of those things. Now, you would say, okay, well, that doesn't maybe lend itself super well for a whole lot of worship music. Obviously, the piano, there's some electric that would fit in. And then the jazz organ would make sense, and possibly some strings. It's hard to believe that you would use a choir sound, but maybe you would. So I've been to a lot of churches that don't know the first step of the next thing, because there's a lot of hidden and secret things about this that aren't obvious, and there aren't any instructions on the actual keyboard. You would not know this unless you knew this. You have to actually go and read it or have seen somebody do it. So the first thing that I often do at churches, they're like, I'm looking for that like string pad piano sound, and they'll be like, oh, well, you just go, you hit the piano button and you hit the string button at the same time, and it creates a dual voice, and then you have the piano sound along with that string sound. Now, this sounds okay, it's not like it's terrible, but there's a few things that don't make it to where it's not as great. The string sound is maybe a little too loud, and then especially when you get up here, the string sound seems to be like more pronounced, and so it's too loud for when you go up to different places. So down here it sounds okay, here's okay, and then here, and when you get up here, then it's just kind of like stands out. And so there's a few things that I would like to do, and I was like telling my students, I was like, well, this is about as far as you can go on this particular piano, and so if you wanted something different, you would have to buy something. And I just felt the Holy Ghost, the Lord, speak up on the inside of me and be like, sure about that? And I was like, well, when any time the Lord says something like that, that means that you don't actually know what it is that you think you know. So you should go back and check. And so I went and looked at the manual and read the manual, and I was like, wait a minute, there's a whole nother level of secret buttons that do different things that I wanted it to do, but I didn't know that it did it. And so I thought I would share some of those with you, just again as an example of this idea of being stewardship and getting the most out of the gear that you have. And once you've done that, you will be ready for a different gear, or you may not even want that other gear because you have what it is that you want. So I found out on the manual that if you hit the metronome button and hold it down, that it changes every single one of these notes into switches that turn certain things on and off or do different things. And you would think, why? Why would it do that? Why would you have the metronome? Like, I don't need the metronome. But again, secret compartments, secret layers. I'm giving you inside information here that was readily available the whole time. So what I can do is I can take the string voice and I can drop it down an octave. So that's done right here by pushing the metronome button and then coming up to these keys right here. This will make it an equal balance. This will drop it an octave. So this will drop it another octave. Hear how that's different? It's pretty subtle here on the recording, possibly. Even balance. But I like dropping it an octave. So that way, when I come up, it's not quite as pronounced. Let's try it down even further. Kind of sits in there a little more. And that's kind of more the modern pad sound where it's super low. That's much nicer. Now, I would say that's better, but I would still like the pad sound to be a little bit quieter. And lo and behold, guess what? You can do that by pushing metronome, and then you get these keys up here control the balance of whether or not which one is louder. So if I hit over here, this is going to make the strings louder. Now the piano's in there, but it's just barely. I just shifted the power. And then here is hardly any strings. Just maybe a little, not quite as much as I want. So I'll bring it back one, which is going to be this key. I don't know, maybe I like the other one better. Right there. That was not the answer. That one there. There we go. Well, that's much better sound than what it is that we were doing before, which is strings being higher, strings being louder, right? Which is a whole lot better than just piano. Has a lot more of that sustained worship sound that we're looking for, although that may be subject to your opinion. But there's actually other things that are done as well as we can affect the reverb. There's this whole other setting. So the point I'm trying to make, and you can decide whether or not that's going to be sufficient for you, is that we first have to jump in and learn our gear to the fullest extent, and that is just the principle of stewardship. So, all right, well, hopefully that is going to spark some interior desire in you to go and, you know, figure stuff out, watch some tutorials, talk to some people, find some tech people in your church that can help you get the gear, do what it is that you want it to do, so that way you can save kingdom finances, you can be as awesome. And you can, yeah, just realize the Lord provides, and maybe he already has provided, and we just got to figure out how to do it. So hope that's helpful. Until next time, have a great week, and God bless.